Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to mini episode 333 of Real Life Ghost Stories, and I have four spooky stories for you today, and the last story comes from the 28th of December 2023, and story number one comes from Izzy. I've never seen a ghost as far as I know, but only one thing has ever happened to me that I couldn't explain. When I was 5 or 6 years old, I went on a weekend trip with my grandma to London. These trips were a treat that happened once or twice a year. And we'd try and do everything that a child would love to do in London in the space of 2 or 3 days. This required a lot of walking, but I had done this lots of times before, so I was used to it. Or so I thought. On the morning of the last day, I woke up with an agonizing pain in my right knee. The day before, we had climbed to the top of St. Paul's to see the Whispering Gallery, and then walked to lots of other attractions. I guess it was too much for me, and my knee was feeling the consequences. The pain was so bad that as soon as I tried to walk, I fell to the floor. Not to be too gory, but the only way I can describe the sensation is it felt like the bones in my knee were grinding together, and any additional pressure only made the pain worse. My grandma, seeing how much pain this was causing me, decided to take me home early and cut our weekend short. I limped the whole way to the train station, which luckily wasn't too far away. As we neared the station, my grandma saw a pharmacy and took me in to see if there was anything that they could suggest we do to ease the pain. When we went inside, there were a few people queuing up for the counter. We had been waiting in line for a few minutes when the man in front of us turned around. I was sitting on the floor at this point, unable to take the pain of standing up straight. "What's wrong with her?" the man asked my grandma. My grandma explained that she had no idea and that this strange pain had only just happened this morning, but was probably to do with the amount of walking we had done. She told him I could barely walk and she was going to take me home and cut our weekend short due to my injury. The man asked her if he could have a look at my knee. She wasn't sure what good this would do, but said yes anyway. He rolled up my trouser leg, put the palm of his hand on my knee and rubbed it gently. This was around 18 years ago, but I remember so clearly the feeling of relief as I felt the pain leave my knee. My grandma stood by and watched in awe as he got me to walk 10 steps pain-free. Then he left without saying a word. The next part I don't remember so clearly, so I'll tell you as my grandma told me. She took my hand and led me outside, following the man in order to say thank you to him. But when she opened the door and looked up and down the street, he had vanished. He couldn't have been more than 5 steps in front of us, and there were no crowds that he could be hiding in or shops that he could have gone into next door. He had simply disappeared. We went on to have a lovely rest of our time in London, and I went back to walking normally and never experiencing that pain again. I am eternally grateful to whoever that person was who healed me that day, and often wonder if it was anything more serious that he saved me from. Mystery man, if you are listening, thank you. I've probably spoken more about this on Patreon than anywhere else when I've had my mom on to talk about all things spooky, etc. But I grew up in a part of the world where there is a strongly held belief that some people have the ability to cure other people. Whether it's real or whether it's some sort of supersonic placebo effect, I don't know. But skeptical as I am, I sort of have a special place in my heart for people who have the ability to heal and people who have the ability to cure. And this story kind of doesn't surprise me. The surprising bit to me is why he walked away afterwards. So he was standing in the queue and then healed you and then left. Because if I was queuing in the pharmacy, I'd be thinking, I'm not leaving this queue for love nor money. Although I have met people who have the ability to heal various things and it makes them feel like really sick and dizzy and tired afterwards. So maybe after he had healed you, he needed to leave. I mean, granted, that doesn't explain where he actually went. Like, was this some sort of guardian angel healing and he was just masquerading as somebody queuing in a pharmacy for that moment to be able to heal your knee? I honestly would love to make a documentary at some point about the cure in rural Ireland and how sort of accepted and in some ways important it is in various rural communities. I'm pretty sure Ardlo Hanlon, as in the comedian who played Father Dougal in Father Ted, I'm pretty sure he did a TV series and a part of it he talked about the cure, but I think it was more of a piss take of people who believed in it rather than, because I think it warrants and deserves an actual conversation, you know, that isn't just like, haha, look at these stupid country people believing things. Like, for example, there is a well in Ireland that is said to cure mental illness. So if you drank the water, it would cure your mental illness. And that's been a long held belief for a very long time, for, you know, centuries. And then they discovered later that there was naturally occurring lithium in the water, which, of course, in certain quantities will help certain mental health conditions. So I think, you know, it's possible that there's actual scientific reasoning and logic behind these miracle cures, etc. In this instance, I love that it all just seemed so coincidental. You ran into this man, he rubbed his palm on your knee, you physically felt the pain leave your body, and then he disappears off into the night. Mystery man, if you're listening, get in touch. I want to make a documentary about you. Thank you. And story number two comes from Asher. Two notable things. They aren't related, though, in any way. Firstly, when I was 12, I was in my classroom getting ready to go for assembly when I saw what looked like the shadow of someone walking into class. Instinctively, I stood up from my squatting position to say hi, and I see nobody. So in my head, I wonder what's up with this. So I look outside the classroom to the main corridor, and there's nobody. So I went straight into panic mode and just bolted out of there. Though on second thought, I can put this down to hallucinations, as I was having my PSLE then, which is a Singapore exam which causes a lot of stress. The second thing, which is a reoccurring thing in my life and also something I heard in another episode, is that I have these dreams. Like, it's really weird. I would just dream of something, forget it, and when that exact scene replays itself in real life, a few days or months later, it just comes back to me like a flashback you would see in those movies. Hence, I looked into this gift or curse that I have, and I discovered that the dreams which I somehow don't forget because I'm suddenly woken up or something don't come into existence in real life. This has started happening since I was 10. Now I'm 13, so it's been a good 3 years. Lastly, some of these flashbacks have been happening more often. For context, I would have one flashback a week, but now I'm having up to 3 a day, so I fear something happening. What I really cannot understand, though, is how I'm able to literally see into the future, though not moments of my choice. Firstly, in a way, Asher, I'm glad that you were able to figure out what was going on with the shadow that you saw in your classroom. We don't have an equivalent of the PSLE, I don't think, but I did look it up and it seems like a very high stress exam. And I can only imagine that being so young and being in such a high stress environment must be pretty difficult. And of course, we know that when we're in high stress environments, our brain can play tricks on us. And not only that, but there may have been a perfectly logical explanation for this shadow coming into the classroom, but it may have been that your brain interpreted it as something that was dangerous or something that was giving you reason to panic, when in actuality, it was something perfectly logical. But when you're in a high stress situation and your brain is on high alert, it does very strange things. And as for your second story, I mean, we've heard it countless times before where people have these sort of dreams that are premonition dreams. They dream that something's going to happen. It can be something really innocuous, something really mundane. It doesn't have to be a big life-changing event. There's two things I would say about that. And firstly, I would say that there is very little you can do to control that, it would seem. Like, you can't control what you dream about. It is what it is. And I think it's very easy for me to be like, just don't worry about it, because I'm not the one who's in this position. The other thing I would say is that if you have somebody that's sort of older in your life, like an adult that you can talk to about these feelings of having these flashbacks all the time, I think that would probably be a really beneficial thing to do, purely because it might give you just some support with dealing with it on a day to day. Being 13, you don't want to be dealing with stuff that's freaking you out, as well as the everyday life of a 13-year-old.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And story number 3 comes from Ellie. Me and my partner Elliot moved into a new home in June 2023. It's actually the house I grew up in. I always had an odd feeling in this house growing up, but initially when we moved in, I didn't get this feeling. Then, as time went on, a few weird things started happening. I have ADHD, and part of my ADHD is that I will sometimes have random moments of extreme motivation and hyperfixation. And fortunately for me, cleaning is something I hyperfixate on. This will go on until the house looks like it's a photo from a catalogue, and God forbid my partner puts anything in the wrong place for a good few weeks after I've had my cleaning hyperfixation. I'm a nurse on a ward, and the day after I'd cleaned the house from top to bottom, I was alone in the house, sleeping for a night shift. I got up around 7:30 after my partner left for work, went to the bathroom, which I left spotless, and then went back to sleep for the rest of the day. When I got up, I went again to the bathroom and was surprised to see a face massager in the middle of the floor. At first, this probably doesn't sound that strange, but as I've said, the place was spotless and the floor was clear when I went back to bed earlier in the morning. And I know this for sure because the massager was in a place that I would have had to either step over it or kick it to get from the toilet to the sink. I usually keep it in a cupboard under the sink, which you could argue it just tumbled out. But what makes this hard to believe is that 1, it was about a foot away from the cupboard, and 2, the cupboard doors need to be pushed to close, and all the cupboards were closed when I came in. I was admittedly a bit freaked out, but I just tried to brush it off until my partner came home and tried to rest. When he came home, I told him all about it. He is an avid non-believer and thinks that once you die, that's it. So naturally, he just laughed at my seemingly overreaction to the massager being on the floor. I turned to go up the stairs to get ready for my shift and half-jokingly said to him, "Do you know what? I hope the house ghost does some really creepy stuff to you to prove that he's real." Yes, I assumed the ghost's gender. I just felt it was male, which may make sense soon. I came down the stairs and sat down for a minute in front of the fireplace and spotted something. Sitting against the black of the fake coals was a white piece of card. I reached in and picked it out, and it turned out to be an old Christmas card from the previous tenant. This was strange, because by this point we'd been moved in for 4 months, and I'd spent many a night staring at that fireplace, telling my partner how much I hated it and wished my parents had boarded it up when I was younger, and the white card was very obviously against the black coals. Which leads me to think I would have seen it way before this point. It just seemed to appear there only moments after I wished the ghost to wreak havoc on my poor partner. At this point, I could tell that my partner was starting to feel a bit weirded out, as even he agreed he would have spotted the card way before now had it been there before. I smugly walked off and said, "See, I told you the ghost would prove himself." Not long after this, I heard my boyfriend yelling from downstairs. Yes, at this point, I'm upstairs again. Not to keep using the ADHD thing, but I'm very disorganized. I'm getting ready involves roughly 10 trips up and down the stairs, 7 side quests, 5 visits to rooms that I've no idea what I've got in there for, and a fair few conversations that will end with, anyway, I need to shut up because I'm going to be late. I hear him yelling, Ellie, are you doing that? And I shout down to him, what are you talking about, Elliot? I'm trying to get ready. He carries on yelling, I swear if that's you, you have to stop. So I go down to see what the fuss is about. We both have apps on our phone to control the TV as Elliot lost the remote when he still lived at home. So just to clarify, the physical remote has never been in our possession, and the only way to control it is by either of our phones. It turns out that while I was upstairs, his TV program had started fast-forwarding on its own. Admittedly, maybe a month before, I had done this to scare him, but this time I could genuinely swear in my life that it was not me. With this, he's looking really freaked. At this point, I had to brush it off and carry on getting ready. After all, I was about to spend the night on the ward, so the ghost is not my problem for the night. It finally gets to the time for me to leave. As part of my routine, I now put my key in the same spot every single day, as if I don't, I will lose it and spend ages looking for it. I go to grab it, and it's not there, so I start searching. Now I'm looking for my key everywhere, and I'm getting frustrated because I can't find it, and the longer I look, the later I'm going to be. I ask Elliot if he can quickly help me look, as I felt I'd looked everywhere, so needed a second pair of eyes. As he stood to look, something jingled in his pocket. He reached in and produced my key. I just looked at him. My initial reaction was to ask why he would do that, because now I was going to be late. That was until I saw the look of horror on his face. He swore blind he hadn't touched my key. He didn't have a clue how it had gotten into his pocket, and quite rightly pointed out that he had gotten into the house using his own key and had been sitting on the sofa since, so why would he touch my key? He was visibly freaked out at this point and started shouting, I'm sorry, I believe you're here now, you can stop. And told me that he felt so freaked out he didn't even want to stay in the house on his own, which coming from a non-believer, scared of nothing boyfriend, must mean it's serious. After this day, we haven't had any major happenings like that again, thankfully. A couple of weeks later, we went to visit Elliot's parents in Oxford. Just a month before this, Elliot's uncle had very tragically died far too young in a fatal accident. When we went up to visit, his mum had bought angel cards and was using them to provide comfort and perform readings for either herself or others. I don't necessarily believe in things like this, but I love my mother-in-law and would do anything that I thought would provide her a distraction or comfort. So I sat down for her to do a reading for me. She told me to think of someone. I thought of my own uncle, who was also taken from this world far too young. My mum's side of the family have always had experiences that you could attribute to the paranormal, and will often say it's signs from either my papa or my uncle. I was only 2 when my uncle passed, so for me, I didn't grieve his death. But as I've gotten older, I've grieved the loss of what I could have or should have had. My mum and my nan have always spoken about how great he was and how he loved being an uncle. My nan has also spoken about how she feels I'm similar to him in many ways, as I'm diagnosed with ADHD, and she feels if this had been more recognized when he was growing up, he would likely have been diagnosed with this too, rather than just being labeled as the naughty kid. As I've grown up, I've faced many challenges in relation to my ADHD, and have often found myself longing to just be able to have my uncle around, as it feels like he would have been able to understand the world from my perspective, which as amazing as my mum is and supports where she can, she has openly admitted she is not able to do. As I shuffled the cards, thinking of my uncle, one dropped out on the table, and my mother-in-law said, okay, that's your card, and it's jumped out at you for a reason. So I turned it over, and she did my reading. And as much as I am dubious about this sort of stuff, I have to admit it was weird. The card was along the lines of, I'm still here watching over you, even if you cannot see me. Sometimes I will move things about the house to show you that I'm still here and still with you. Yes, this could be a coincidence, I agree. However, what a huge coincidence that just a couple of weeks after all this went on, that this one card out of about 60 cards jumped out at me. I like to think that the activity around the house was my uncle, and being the tease my mum and Nan always described him to be, found it hilarious to freak my partner out, whilst also showing me that I'm not alone. I think it's really interesting that your gut instinct was that this particular entity that was in your house was male. I think that's just really interesting considering what we then learn with the angel cards. And it does sound like whatever was in your house was playful and trying to get attention. Like, it doesn't sound like anything really sinister. And I do understand that feeling when you know you've cleaned the house, you know that you have put stuff in certain places and then something is moved. It is really unnerving and really jarring and really obvious. And to me, it really does sound like your partner being super skeptical and you being like, well, listen, the ghost is going to show you, probably spurred your uncle on to be like, well, I've gotten permission now to mess with him a little bit, in a kind of non-sinister, non-petrifying way. And I do think that's probably more than a weird coincidence that that particular angel card came out of 60 just a couple of weeks later. That is a very strange coincidence, if it is a coincidence at all. And story number 4 comes from Ashley. After hearing the story about the phantom sex noises, I figured my story wasn't quite as weird as I thought. My dad's house was haunted. We thought maybe something came in with the antiques his wife was into. Things would move and turn on inappropriately, nothing too wild. For example, once the old school red numbered alarm blasted the radio upstairs at an odd time. And when my dad went to check, it was not set for that time and the volume was all the way down. As they would relay these stories to me, about 13 at the time, I naturally got spooked. It didn't help that the house was in the woods with big windows and I usually slept downstairs by myself. One weekend, I brought a friend along and, of course, I had told her the stories. She wouldn't let me leave her alone, even to pee. So I decided to make a show of telling the ghost to go away and leave us alone, likely about as sassily as you'd expect from a teenage girl. Since my stepsister was away at college, we were allowed to sleep in her bed. In the middle of the night, I awoke to my friend shaking me and the sound of one of those wind-up music boxes on the shelf playing at full speed. "Ash! Ash, the music is playing," she whispered frantically. I love sleeping and apparently wanted to get back to it before I woke up too much and just said, "Well, tell it to stop." And at that moment, it stopped dead. No winding down through the slow tick of notes that is normally what happens with those things. Somehow, I rolled over and went back to sleep. For the rest of the time they lived in that house, there was never any more ghost activity. Maybe a month or two had passed and I had been back to my dad's another time by myself since. After being there a while, his wife came to me in a huff and accused me of wetting the bed the last time I was there. Even as a small child, I had only done that once and now I was 13, so there was no way it was even plausible. Of course, I would know if I had, and I didn't. They had a dog as well, but when I suggested it might have been him, she said, "He doesn't do that." Well, neither do I, but whatever. She didn't seem to believe me, but eventually dropped it. It's been 25 years, and from time to time, I still wonder if I had pissed off this ghost, and before it left, it decided to try and make me look bad. So, grudgy ghost or evil stepmother, you decide. Can I guess all of the above? No shade to your stepmother, I just think there's potentially a better way if your, you know, 13-year-old stepdaughter potentially wet the bed. I would think there's a better way than being, like, accusatory about it. But I'm not somebody who has raised children, so who am I to say? Again, it sounds like we got something that's going on here that's very attention-seeking, very attention-needing. You know, playing the music and then you're like, oh, just shut up, I'm trying to sleep. And then wet in the bed so that you get in trouble. That seems like very attention-seeking behaviour to me. It feels like it didn't get the reaction that it wanted from you, so therefore, it tried to get you in trouble. I'm curious as to whether you had any sense of what this particular entity was in terms of age or gender, like we did with the last story. Did you get the sense that it was a child? Because it feels like very childlike energy to me. But in saying that, I didn't experience it. I'm just going by what I've read. So, you know, it could be anything. Could be an old man. Who knows? Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Thank you to Izzy, Asher, Ellie and Ashley for sending in your stories. Remember, the last story came from the 28th of December 2023. And if you would like to send in your story, you can do so by emailing it to reallifeghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out the website reallifeghoststoriespodcast.com. And if you are desperate for some extra content, you can subscribe to the Patreon. That is patreon.com/reallifeghoststories, where for $5 a month or $2 a month, you get access to heaps of extra content, as well as every single main and mini episode completely ad-free. And on that note, I shall see you next time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.